The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Will Benson. I'm your host. Show is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. And it's a Pete Prisco Tuesday joining me to talk about, I guess, the Super Bowl.
Is there a game next week?
I didn't hear. Is there a game? Pete Prisco and John Breach. What's up, fellas?
Let's go Super Bowl. I'm ready, man. This is going to be fun. I love this matchup.
Yeah, it's awesome. Chiefs and
49ers. Only 12 days away, Pete. What are you going to do to burn the time? You got 12 days to burn.
Well, I'll be working, and then I will be in Las Vegas starting on Sunday. As will you two.
Not a good idea to send Brenton there.
No.
That's being talked about on a lot of podcasts.
You know what that is? That's like
Super Bowl.
A kid into Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
And anyone who has seen those movies knows that does not turn out well for the kid, except for Charlie. Let's hope Brinson is Charlie.
Yeah, but you know, but it's not Willy Wonka's with Brinson. It's more like leaving Las Vegas.
Worth noting that the first time my name was brought up on a podcast about my possible behavior in Las Vegas was Pete being discussed as a guy who's gonna be out there in Hawaiian shirts on Pardon My Take, drunk the whole time. That's what I believe they said about you, Pete.
Yes. And they didn't say Hawaiian shirts though. They said button down shirts and whatever in the jeans that they know. That's not what they said about you though.
That's not what they said about me. Let's move on. If you're watching on YouTube. By the way, speaking of watching things, Pete, did you catch Royal Rumble last week over the weekend? Are you a big wrestling fan?
I haven't watched one wrestling match or in my life.
What do you think about people who watch professional wrestling?
Like our good buddy Nick Costas?
Yeah. He's been into it, I think, since like the early 2000s. Like, he's been into it since he was a little boy.
The last guy I remember was Andre the Giant way back in the day. And the only reason I know that is because I saw him and watched him because it was such a curiosity. But to anybody who I don't understand fake, if they really did what they look like they're doing, they would kill each other. So if they have that, I'll watch that. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the real Squid Games or something. I'll watch that.
remember when Eric Young was going to throw me through a table, like at a work function? That was pretty wild. Instead, he just did a chokehold and like, I was sore for a week.
Do you remember Russ Grimm, the offensive lineman? He was going to throw me off a balcony once, goofing around.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I watched,
few cocktails and got a little riled up, and he grabbed me and threw me, bent me over.
Who was it? Who was it who put you in a chokehold at the combine, dude?
So he was going to Suge Knight you?
It was Curse.
Yeah, Javon Curse. I don't know where that picture is. It's not on my phone for some reason. I had a picture of you in a headlock from Javon Curse. You know Curse how that
started.
Like
it started. I said, "Come on, man, I can block you." And I got down and
we had a few cocktails at the combine.
Yeah, that's how that started.
All right. Anywho, Taylor Swift going to be at the Super Bowl, according to reports. Pretty excited about that.
You know what? I want to say this about that. Okay. Leave them alone. I don't get it. Why does it bother anybody? I don't understand why that bothers anybody. If it was fake, I would say, okay, it bothers me. It's fake. But it looks like it's real. And if it's real, who cares? Let them have, why can't they have their moment and their time together?
I don't, and when you say leave them alone, you mean like people who are complaining about Taylor Swift being at the
Yeah, it's who like, cares?
He's famous. She's famous. They're together, and she's coming to the Super Bowl.
By the way, he seems, you know, anytime I've ever dealt with him and just watching him, he seems like such an easygoing dude. So she must be pretty down to earth, easygoing, you know? So, I mean, who cares?
It's because he's from Ohio. Us Ohio guys are all very easygoing.
Breach,
everybody,
you
very
are the biggest. You're the biggest diva on the planet, Breach.
What?
I'm just kidding. I don't know if you noticed or not, but when. There was a clip, and I think it might have been Jonathan Jones that got it, or maybe somebody. I can't remember. I'm not sure who had the clip, but it was like following Taylor down on the field after the AFC Championship game victory, and she's with Travis. She's with Travis, and he asked her, "Where's Jason?" And she says, "I don't know. I think he kind of got lost behind us." And then he finds Jason, his brother, and she like backs up and like moves. She was like very, she like got out of the way and like moved out, like got away from the cameras. And I don't know. It was like, I thought it was pretty cool that it was just to see how she was like,
yeah, but
wanted to,
when she becomes the wife, she ain't moving.
Oh well, yeah. That's right. Yeah. She's like, I don't know where you
used to be your brother. Now you're my husband. Yeah. Move out of the way.
She's like, I don't give a crap where your brother is.
They just seem like, I mean, and you can tell her mother and father like him, his mother and father like her. I mean, it just seems real. And if it's real and not all for show, then why do people get so worked up about it? I don't understand.
The people complaining about like Taylor Swift. Also, it's, I mean, jamming in everybody's face too. Like everyone's like, she's ruined Travis Kelce and ending the Chiefs season. It's like, well, guess who's back in the Super Bowl for the fourth time in 6 years?
And he's playing out of his mind. I mean, no doubt about it. He's playing great football. So yep, it's just weeks. Look, she'll be there. That's her guy. Big deal. Okay.
Yep.
Big deal.
Absolutely. By the way, AFC Championship game, most watched AFC Championship game in NFL history. It's the Taylor Swift factor helps, but I don't know. It's like the NFC Championship game got 56 million people too, and there was no Taylor Swift there. So anybody saying that she's the one propping up the viewers.
Yeah, but usually that second game gets more viewers anyways, but that's an unreal number for that game, the early game. It really is. I mean, and I think the Super Bowl number is going to be just unreal.
Super Bowl number is going to be like, I think that CBS did a good job too with the Taylor Swift coverage, like during the game, of the AFC Championship game, like, because they're not, you know, sometimes networks will, and we're not saying that just because we're with CBS, but it doesn't hurt, but like sometimes networks will be so over the top with I don't think we're going to see, you know, 50 cutaways to Taylor Swift. I think we'll see a couple cutaways to Taylor Swift when Travis Kelce does stuff, and that's what they should do. And I think we'll see an insane number for this Super Bowl in terms of.
I'll be on the field after the game. So when I see her, I'm going to say, hey, would you release the tickets so I can sell mine to your Miami concert?
I dare you to say that.
She's probably, you know what? She'd probably laugh and say, okay, sell them, and then I'll give you two others. That's what they seem like. Her and Travis Kelce seem that way to me, you know?
I don't think Taylor Swift is going to give you comp tickets, but I agree with you.
You never know. All you can do is just, you know, put it out there. Ask.
Yeah. Brinson, I will say, though, I think they'll show a little more Taylor Swift during the Super Bowl. We will on CBS than we did during the AFC title game. I thought we did a great job of that. We only showed her on celebratory. It was like three times and maybe in our Grammys ad. But now you have the casual fan tuning in, some fans who are actually tuning in just to see Taylor Swift. So those fans are saying, where's Taylor? Give us some Taylor. We want more Taylor. And real quick, this was only the third time since 2000 that both the AFC and NFC title game had more than 50 million viewers. So it is not that common to get monstrous numbers in both games.
No. Look, the NFL is king. It remains king. It will stay king. It's just what it is.
Yep. It's very football. Football, very popular. Taylor Swift, also very popular. Okay, let's get to some bold predictions. Last week, you had two bold predictions, one for each of the games. And your first bold prediction was from Chiefs or Ravens. And you said, let's give us a bold prediction from the AFC Championship game on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Let's see, bold prediction. Pacheco rushes for over 100 yards.
That's pretty bold because the Ravens do not give up a ton of rushing yards. Pacheco had 68 rushing yards and a touchdown, Pete.
68 and a touchdown is not bad, though.
Nah, that's...
I mean, it wasn't that bad.
If you were doing like fantasy football, if you were making a
fantasy points,
yeah, you like
Jamie. If that was a start of the week for Jamie Eisenberg, he would be doing boom around the office. He'd count that. I mean, he does. I go, Jamie. Somebody rushes for 35 yards. That's 35 yards receiving and scores a touchdown, and he's booming. I go, it's
congrats. Like that's an average day at the office, buddy.
Right. Yeah. Start of the week. I hit my start of the week. I mean, what did he do?
Yeah, it's like, and not to mention, like Jamie's notorious too for he'll be like, start of the week is Josh Allen. It's like, oh, it's a good one. It's a real good one. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Let me see in the Super Bowl. I'll make my start. Part of the week, Patrick Mahomes. What do you think?
It's like Christian McCaffrey. All right, there you go.
And then each week, if like his start of the week doesn't do that well, he'll go back in and say, "Well, he was top 10 in running back." And then you have Dave sitting on the side in the green room defending him. Yo, yeah, he was top 10. You know, it's the defender.
Oh, Jamie and Dave. Lions 49ers, your bold prediction involved the quarterbacks. Lions and 49ers. Lions at 49ers.
The two quarterbacks combined for 700 passing yards and 5 touchdowns.
Wow. My God. The shootout. That's a
ton. Not even close.
Got the shootout part right.
Got the shootout. Yeah, only 540 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. Purdy had 267 and Goff had 273. Actually, I mean, I kind of feel like it feels like, I mean, it's 34-31. It really feels like there was more pass. It feels like you were closer to right than wrong on that one.
Well, if you saw this final score, you'd have assumed that at least one of these quarterbacks went over 300. It's amazing that didn't materialize.
By the way, when I sent my picks in on Tuesday and I picked the game, I picked San Francisco 33-31, I think.
Ooh, very nice. We had 6 rushing touchdowns. So that's, I mean, you know, and you had, I think Gibbs was from 15 yards. Jameson Williams with a 42-yard rushing touchdown, like, you know, and Christian McCaffrey scored twice where they easily could have gotten your 5 touchdowns there, I think. I mean, both teams.
Well, he got one touchdown when he went for it on fourth down, which was a mistake at the end of the game. That was one of his many mistakes. He got away with it.
Oh, boy.
What?
I think we have some Dan Campbell talk later in the podcast, Pete. You got to save your rant. You got to save it.
I got plenty of them.
All right. Let's talk. These are pretty good for bowl predictions. We'll give you credit for that. We're going to do some bowl predictions for the Super Bowl, but we've got plenty of time to do that. So instead, let's talk about some storylines leading up to the game. Pete, what is your number one? By the way, I had just the weirdest. I did a radio hit earlier today. the producer hears this, I don't care. But like the producer was like, could you send me some of your predictions for the Super Bowl? I was like, no. No.
He wants you doing work on his show? The work is you're getting me on. That's the work.
I was like, why don't you just ask me anything? Right? I was like, no.
You know what you should have said? Yeah, I'll send them to you. You can send me that dinner certificate from one of the finest restaurants around. We'll call it even.
Yeah, yeah. It's like if you want to pay me for the hit, I'll do that. But no, right. Absolutely not. Right. What's the storyline you're looking forward to with the Chiefs, Pete?
Dynasty.
Yeah. Overarching.
I love Dynasty Talk. You want specific to the game, or you?
No. I think whatever floats your boat. Yeah.
I love Dynasty Talk because I think, and we ranked them today and where they would be if they win, where they're going.
Are you
going to
put them past the Patriots?
If they win six. I mean, when you think about them right now, though, when you look at it, and Breach is going to get mad when I say this, but if it wasn't for Dee Ford being offsides, they probably win that one because they had a remember they picked them off. Yeah. They led the Bengals 21-3, okay? They should have won that game.
They should have lost to the Bengals last year and won the year before that. They should have gone 1-1 against the Bengals.
Patrick Mahomes could have gone to the Super Bowl every single year that he was a starter so far, very easily.
And the only game where he really didn't win got blown – Bucks. And that was a COVID year.
And he had an ankle injury.
And I remember talking to people after that game in the Chiefs organization about it, and they said – they really had a rough time coming back the next year after winning it and having to deal with the COVID situation. It was hard. It was different. And so they didn't really do a great job with that. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they won.
He could easily have won it every year.
He could have won the six Super Bowls.
Two of his three playoff losses are in overtime. Like, just think about that. He has three losses, and two of them came in overtime.
And should have won the Patriots game because they had an interception. It was negated by the offsides. And probably when you're up 21-3 in a playoff game, you should win that game.
Yeah. Kick the field goal before halftime, they win that game. The first Chiefs game.
So
Dan Campbell kicked the field goal before halftime. He didn't win. Just kidding. We'll get to that in a minute.
Patrick Mahomes.
I think the other thing, too, is remember – Brady and Belichick won three of their first four, right? Because they won 2000, 2001, and 2003. Is that right?
And then they went away for a while.
But that version of Tom Brady was nowhere close to this version of Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Like nowhere close. Tom Brady was awesome, but the defense was obviously better with the Patriots. But I mean, the margin for error that's the thing about the Chiefs is if they have a remotely good defense, it's kind of weird Steve Spagnuolo's not getting head coaching interviews, isn't it?
Well, because he's been a head coach before, and I think that people think he's up in the years, and does he really want to do it? I think that has something to do with it, too.
And he probably doesn't mind piling up Super Bowl rings as a defensive coordinator for Patrick Mahomes' team.
But, yeah, they could easily be in the conversation as the great – if they had won one more going into this one, they could be in the conversation as the greatest dynasty of all time, including the Patriots.
Do they have to get past – do they have to win seven to be past the Patriots?
If they win six in less years than it took the Patriots, then they're the greatest dynasty of all time. I don't think there's any question about that.
Does Mahomes have to win six to become the greatest quarterback of all time?
No.
Oh.
No. If he wins five and wins three more MVPs or something, or four more MVPs, then he's in – no. But here's the other thing. Where are they right now? That's the question. And we ranked them today. I have Pats number one, Pats. Number two, Steelers. Hmm. The Steelers teams in the 70s were unreal. And people, you know, most of you guys weren't around for them, but they were. because that's what Brady said. I wasn't around for them. Okay. Then the 49ers run. And you kind of tag on the end of that with the Young win. But that run was incredible. Then I think the Chiefs are the next one, and then the Cowboys.
The 90s Cowboys, the Jimmy Johnson.
And this is post-merger, by the way, because if you go before the merger, you'd throw in the 50s Browns, you'd throw in the 60s Packers, you'd throw in those teams. But and then post-merger, the guys that are in also in the comment, Washington won three Super Bowls with Joe Gibbs with three different quarterbacks. Everybody else had their guy.
Yeah.
That's amazing when you think about it. And then Buffalo going to four straight. They never get the due they deserve for being a dynasty because they didn't win one.
Yeah.
Years of dynasty, though. I just feel like, you know, I feel like 5 years needs to be the minimum for a dynasty because 4 years just feels like you built one lucky team. You kept the roster together. Even you can do that in the salary cap age because a lot of these contracts are 3 and 4 years. I think that you have to go 5, 6 years to be in the dynasty conversation. 4 years would be my cutoff of not.
Yeah, but the Bills were good. Not other than those years where they didn't get to the Super Bowl, they still were good teams. But here's the other thing: when you think about it, and I looked at this, I think the Steelers dynasty had, from you know when they won those Super Bowls, had a total of like 80 something starters.
That's crazy.
And the Patriots dynasty, and it was longer, but it was
Patriots had like 575.
Three times as many. No, it was like 270 or something like that. And you know, it's just so different to look and see how many, you know, because you kept your, you developed them, you drafted them, you developed them, they became good players, and you kept them. And so that's the difference between when you look at the Steelers and what the Chiefs and the Patriots both have done.
Well, I mean, even the Chiefs, think about, like, you have this potential for, like, you know, Tyreek Hill, post-Tyreek Hill, you know, like, I mean, like, Kelsey's, I mean, there's talk of he might retire this offseason. I don't think he does, personally, but I mean, you know, I mean, like you just have, it's the one, there's just one, you know, one constant. I mean, it's,
well, what is, and Andy Reid. And here's Brady the other Belichick. Thing. These two teams played, what, 3 years, was it four? What was it, 4 years ago they played in the Super Bowl? Is it four?
Yeah. Or it was the right before COVID.
Super Bowl 54.
There's 10 guys on each team, I think, left.
Total or 10 on each?
10 total. I mean, 10 on each, I think it is. Think about that. That isn't that long ago. Back in the day, when the Steelers were going, they had 40 guys.
You'd have 80, roster. Yeah.
What, do you,
can where you, would you put you the list? 49ers, Pete? The 81 to 94,
they were
in the, five.
They Super were third. They were third. Okay. Yeah, they were right. It's for me, it's one Chiefs. I mean, one Patriots.
One Pats. Yeah.
One Pats, two Steelers, three 49ers, four Chiefs, five Jimmy Johnson Cowboys, because that was a dynasty. And if he had stayed, it would have been even more of a dynasty. All right, and then you can make a case for the, you know, like I said, Washington winning three, you know, the Bills. The Dolphins of the undefeated era, because they lost, they got to the Super Bowl and lost and then won. I mean, you could make a case for some of those. These are post-merger teams. You know, again, the 60s Packers would be in it. The 50s Browns would be in it.
What about the 49ers? This year's 49ers. What storyline? I mean, man.
I mean, it's easy. It's, again, can a guy drafted last win a Super Bowl and carry a team? I mean, you know, this guy has a you know, built-in stigma around him that he's just a plug-and-play guy that benefits from everybody, and he does. But he's better than that. And it's almost like people have a idea about him. And I'll be honest with you. I was one of those guys. I had to see more of it. I've seen more of it.
So you're on board. You're on board with Purdy.
He's not.
I mean, he's not Montana, right? I mean,
he's not Josh Allen. He's not, you know,
maybe he is
Mahomes,
Montana.
But he's a lot like Montana. I mean, he's not Joe Montana, but he's a lot in that the gamer moment. He showed that the last 2 weeks. We didn't know if he could do that. Fits with what they do. You know, shows up and makes plays with his legs and in moments where you don't think he can. I just think there's a. It's almost like when people. I didn't like him coming out, so I'm not going to like him now. You can change your mind on a guy. Now, having said that, Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Super Bowl with the same offense. And if he hits a shot in the middle of the field, probably beats the Chiefs in that game, right? He probably beats them. And so I think you got to sit there and say, okay, Kyle Shanahan makes it work with who's ever playing quarterback. If Sam Darnold were in the lineup, and Purdy's better than Sam Darnold, but if Sam Darnold were in the lineup, would the 49ers have been a playoff team this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to sprinkle on Sam Darnold Super Bowl MVP.
Ooh, Brinson. Getting a little crazy.
I mean, just in case. What?
I mean.
That bad juju?
yeah. You're putting a voodoo hex on the guy. I mean, come on.
I just want to hit a long shot.
But here's the difference. When Jimmy Garoppolo was playing quarterback for the 49ers, their defense was dominant. This defense is not very good right now. It just isn't. And I told you guys last week, if you block them, you beat them. Didn't I? Then that was exactly what I said.
You said 2 weeks ago with the Patriots.
Lions did it. The Packers.
Yeah, they've been getting blocked all playoffs. And that's my, you know, and that's my concern for that defense. And so Purdy's had to be even better because of that.
I actually think that if you're doing a macro or a micro storyline, because the macro dynasty, I agree with you, that's the storyline. But the micro storyline for the Chiefs, is this off like Joe Tooney needs to be healthy or needs to be able to play, right? I mean, like, don't you think?
I don't think so.
Oh, you don't even think they need it? But
my point is, Allegretti was solid. He's been solid since he's been in.
Needs to be able to play. Just that, like, if he plays, like, and that if that offensive line, if that offensive line is like has a great game against San Francisco, then the Niners are in trouble. Is what I'm trying to get at.
The tackles have to play like they did against the Ravens.
Exactly.
And they hadn't played that way all year, or at least in moments they had struggles. And I think, you know, Allegretti will be fine if he plays. He's tough. He's a mauler, man. He'll battle you. He's not Tooney. Nobody is. But he at least nobody on that team. And so I think he'll be fine with him.
And it feels like that's what the Chiefs are probably thinking is that, look, we had our Joe Tooney's out. We still put up more than 300 yards against the Ravens defense, which was the best in the NFL. The 49ers couldn't really do anything against the Ravens defense. We got shut down for two quarters. So we played two good quarters, still put up over 300 yards and won the game. So I think that their offensive line would be pretty confident whether Tooney's in there or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, and that defense is significantly better. Yeah. I mean, right?
Yeah. I also think, too, you got to throw in, I mean, Kyle Shanahan loses another Super Bowl. It's going to be talked about.
Well, I mean, last week we were talking about it on the text chain about he's choking in the big game. I mean, let's be real. So,
I mean, he would be 0-3, right?
Well, we got the 28-3, which you can't necessarily pin on him, but he's got to take some of the blame. You got to take some of the blame. You've got Super Bowl 54, where he blew a 10-point lead against the Chiefs, which is, I think, the second largest blown lead in Super Bowl history.
You have the 28-3.
NFC title game against the Rams, where he blew that 10-point. So just big blown leads all over the place. And yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of pressure on Shanahan to win this game.
I agree. I think
way more pressure on Shanahan than anybody on Kansas City side.
Way more pressure on him.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, some off-season storylines to talk about. Ooh. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right. Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast. Off-season storylines to watch. I was talking with my buddy Cal on a text chain about a specific off-season. So I was doing some drafts, some 2024 best ball drafts, which is kind of like last night, which is kind of fun because you're so you don't even know where the rookies are going. You don't know what's going to happen in free agency. And so like, I actually was able to stack a bunch of Bengals stuff too, Breach, which should make you very scared. But
I hope you're not stacking T Higgins, 'cause I don't think he's going to be there.
Well, so
don't put that stink out there, Pete.
Well, so T Higgins and Mike Evans were two guys that I was grabbing a lot of. And 'cause I think it's interesting. 'Cause I think Kansas City could end up making a move for what there's some big name wide receivers out there. Higgins, Mike Evans, and Mike Williams too for the Chargers, where like you could see Kansas City maybe say, hey, Kelsey's getting older, we need to go get an alpha receiver, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, if the deal's right, you don't want to go crazy on those guys.
Right,
Mike Evans isn't a youngster anymore, and Williams is always hurt.
Well, the other spot that but Cal pointed out, Evans from Houston could be a good landing spot with the Texans potentially.
Do they need him if Tank Dell's back?
No, not necessarily. That was my doorbell, by the way.
I was wondering what that was. And T. Higgins, I feel like the first person who's going to call him in free agency is Brian Callahan and just say, hey, man, you want to come down to Tennessee? Because we need a receiver here.
And I think he'd be good with Levis. That would be smart for them to go do that. Although they've had their fair share of big receivers who don't run that way. They need speed. Here, I'll give you one. What if Calvin Ridley went out the door, and because he's a free agent too? What if he goes?
Well, don't they have to give up a second round pick if they re-sign him?
Yeah, but they could tag him and work the mechanism that way around. Oh, okay. I think. But what if they let Calvin Ridley go out the door and they got T. Higgins?
Ooh. People are down on Trevor Lawrence, by the way.
Huh?
People are down on Trevor Lawrence again.
He wasn't good this year, but large part because it wasn't because of him. The offensive line was awful.
Yeah. I'm just saying people are down on Trevor Lawrence, that's all.
Well, but, yeah. I'm down on him. I thought he was going to be the MVP, and he wasn't close to it. So, he's probably down on himself the way he played.
Who was a bigger problem, Jacksonville? Trevor Lawrence or Trent Baalke?
Who's a bigger what?
Problem.
Trevor Lawrence isn't a problem. Trent Baalke's a problem.
I wanted to see how high Pete's eyebrow would get when you said Trent Baalke.
I mean, my gosh. By the way, he'll tell you he's not to blame for anything.
Oh, I'm sure he will. He did the same thing in San Francisco. So you got to learn your lesson on Trent Baalke. Stick with the Chiefs, though. The rise of the AFC West. How do we think? Like, this is it's once again a fascinating storyline where people are going to try and put down the AFC, put down the Chiefs, be like, oh, look who's coming. It's Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. Speaking of Trent Baalke, Sean Payton, Antonio Pierce. Yeah, big coaching hires. I do wonder if we'll continue to see this offseason moves by those three teams that generate interest outside of the Chiefs. The Chiefs win another Super Bowl, go to another Super Bowl. And yet again, people are like, well, look at these other teams in the AFC West.
Harbaugh will build a tough physical team there. But, you know, for anybody to sit there and say, well, the Chiefs will have issues, they're young as heck everywhere. They're young. You know, for the Tyreek Hill trade, all that talk about the Tyreek Hill trade, why do you think they're so young in the secondary? That's a large part because of those picks they got for him. They're young. That's not an old team. And somehow they'll figure out how to get Chris Jones back. They're not an old team. And so they're going to be right smack dab Super Bowl favorite next year, right? They're the Super Bowl favorite in the AFC.
They're actually behind the Ravens right now, and so you can bet it.
Stupidity.
Yeah, it's the Niners are 4.5-1. Ravens, we looked at this yesterday on the podcast. Ravens 7-1. Chiefs 8.5-1. 8.5-1 for the Chiefs, who have been, like as you pointed out, two plays away from going to the Super Bowl six straight years with Patrick Mahomes. That's a good number.
And what are the Bills? The next one?
Maybe the Chargers are probably right there too. I mean, Chargers are always up there.
Chargers? Who would? How can you put the Chargers up there? What? Just because they got Harbaugh? 1 year? No. Not 1 year. Do you see anything physically on that defensive line or offensive line that reminds you of Jim Harbaugh? No.
I will say the Chiefs have a very interesting schedule, as does every team in the AFC West. For next year, they play the AFC North. They play the 49ers. They play the Bills. That's six difficult games.
Very.
And the other division teams do not have to play the 49ers or the Bills.
If they whack the 49ers this week, they're not going to mind playing the 49ers. Where's that game at?
Santa Clara.
It's a tough game.
Chargers 30-1. I'm sorry. Apologies.
Chargers.
I mean, every year, hey, I'm a Herbert guy. You know that, Brinson. But yeah. Every year we sit, how's he going to fit into that the way they play? You know, how are they going to use him? That's a tough question right there. Harbaugh will get that thing turned around and get them playing good, tough physical football. It just might not happen right away.
By the way, So here, the top of the list is Niners. The Chiefs actually down to +750. They leapfrogged the Ravens. They flipped to the Ravens after the podcast yesterday. Spicy. Ravens up to 9. So Chiefs, the second favorite. Lions 12, Bills 12, Cowboys, Bengals 15, Eagles 17-1. Dolphins 20-1. Those are all the teams 20-1 or lower.
The Lions are going to have a hard time winning their division next year.
Yeah.
Green Bay.
Packers are good. Packers 25-1.
And Packers are good. The Bears are going to be much better. No matter who plays quarterback, they're going to be a better team. And if Minnesota brings back Kirk Cousins, they're going to be better. Tough division.
Somebody's watching the podcast and DMing Jamie Eisenberg about us. He said, you're catching strays on there.
Hey, we'll fire out some strays now.
Man.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, snitches get stitches.
Yeah, right.
All right. So, also in the AFC West, sort of, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins. I think Cousins probably stays quarterback carousel. I think Cousins probably stays in Minnesota just because of the timing of the injury.
I think so. I think he stays too. I think they'll give him like a 2-year deal, 3-year deal, make it, you know, where they can use the cap number. And I think he wants to stay. I think it makes sense. They found out what life was like without him. He wants to stay.
And that would also make life tough for the Lions too, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, Cousins, the Viking, Kevin O'Connell's a good coach. What about
With Cousins though, he has not shown any inclination to take any sort of bargain. And I know he's coming off an Achilles injury. So it's not like the Vikings will say, well, here's what our budget is. Can you sign this deal? He's going to tell them what he wants, and they're either going to say, okay, we'll pay that, or he'll go somewhere else.
And where would he go? Like Atlanta?
Washington, Atlanta. I think with a new ownership, he would consider Washington. Atlanta could make sense. Maybe Jared Mayo says, hey, you want to come to New England? We actually need a quarterback here because our two guys aren't cutting it. There's spots out there.
I mean, is New England
Denver?
Better?
Sean Payton?
If you're talking about just, no, Denver can't fit him in the cap. That's the problem. Is New England a better opportunity than Minnesota? No.
Well, if New England's going to pay him what he wants to get paid, then maybe.
Well, I mean, but what are you paying him? How much more are you paying him than the Vikings will pay him? You know what I mean? Is $5 million?
I do think that. Like, I agree with you. He won't take a discount, but I also think that he really likes the lifestyle of Minnesota, and he's got his kids. He doesn't seem like I'm going to move the kids to Boston type of guy.
No, he doesn't.
If he can keep them in Minnesota where, and you know, like they went to, he and his wife and the kids went to a Twins game, like a Twins playoff game, or it didn't even get recognized for a while. Like that's awesome. If you're him.
Yeah.
His wife's family lives in Atlanta.
Yeah, what's that?
His wife's family lives in Atlanta.
Those are two Delta hubs though. So it's easy to get there.
Yeah. I think in the end he'll go back to Minnesota.
I think so too. What about Russ? Russ has got to be gone, right?
I mean, what's backup? Who is he a backup?
are you thrilled that Russell, like at the downfall of Russell Wilson? You've always
No, I didn't hate him. I just never thought he was as good as you guys all thought he was. And I was right. I mean, guys wins. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl.
Nick Foles won a Super Bowl.
Nick Foles, greatest accident of all time, won a Super Bowl. Dan Marino didn't. End of argument about anybody who won a Super Bowl.
Wait, I mean, but let me ask you this. Did Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson was like, he was described as a future Hall of Famer.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
Oh man! So he was like people. Okay,
if he's a Hall of Famer, then Matt Ryan's a Hall of Famer.
But you cannot lump Russell Wilson in with Trent Dilfer and Nick Foles.
No, he's better than those guys. No doubt. I'm not saying he's those guys, but I'm talking about when you talk about winning a Super Bowl and how it defines the quarterback position. Because in that case, Marino, who's the greatest thrower of the football who's ever played, should always be critiqued for not winning a Super Bowl, which is absurd.
But my point was just that, like, Russ was on a Hall of Fame track and now might have, like, backed out of it, like, backed out of being a Hall of Famer, which you almost never see. You know what I mean?
Well, when was the last really good year? He had the number one scoring defense in the league the first 4 years he was in Seattle, which is, I think, the 50s Dynasty Browns, only team that ever
He ruined the Seattle Dynasty. He's the reason he took down the Seattle Dynasty, him and Richard Sherman's beef.
But think about that, okay? So that's his greatest seasons. He had a couple good seasons after that. They got away from being a defensive run team, and then that was it. I mean, I think he had one season where you go, oh my God, those numbers are amazing. One, I think.
No MVP votes, as we've heard many times.
I mean, he led the NFL in touchdown passes in 2017. He threw 40 touchdown passes.
That's the year.
In 2020, I mean, he's had several good seasons.
He's had how many good seasons by NFL current quarterback standards?
At least four.
Yeah,
and you could argue five.
That's not a Hall of Famer.
Speaking of quarterbacks who might move on, Justin Fields. Nobody knows if he's going to be with the Bears or not. What do you think happens to the number one overall pick?
I think they're moving on. I think everybody in this draft is enamored with Caleb Williams. I think they're moving on.
So you because at various
would
points.
Would I move on? I don't know. I haven't done enough work on Caleb Williams yet. I got to dive in on him. I've watched all his games, but I want to watch the tape. And would I move on? I probably would not, but the more I dive into it, maybe I change my mind.
How much of your breach do you think is a factor is the like resetting the clock for the GM here?
Well, I think that you can argue that both ways. On one hand, you're not attached to Justin Fields at all. You can say, all right, bye, man. You're not our guy. Just clean your hands of it. Clean your hands of everything that came before you. Or I think they only have two options here. Either you keep Justin Fields, and if you do that, you trade the pick, or you draft a quarterback and you trade Justin Fields. There's got to be a trade here. That's how I see it.
What do you get for Justin Fields?
What other options do you think there would be?
Well, you could hold on to him and let him compete for the year and then get rid of him.
Or you could hold on to Justin Fields and not draft a quarterback with the first overall pick, but I don't think that would be a good use of your compensation.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that would be
here's insane. The thing that we don't – everybody's automatically put Caleb Williams in as the next Patrick Mahomes, and you got to slow down a little bit. There were games this year where he looked ordinary. I mean, he just didn't play as great.
Drake May has never beaten a good defense. I'll tell you that much.
And Drake May had some games where he didn't play well this year.
If you go and look at Drake May's played, I think, four games in his college career. And I'm obviously, I'm a NC State fan. So, I mean, like, I'm biased against Drake May. I think Drake May's a good player. But he's played, I think, four, maybe five games in his career against top 30 defenses, college defenses.
Yeah, but how many of those came in the beginning of this year when he didn't have the fast wide receiver that's going to be
a Walker.
Second-round pick? I mean – that's when you got to look at stuff like that too.
Well, no, I think they were late, but he was not. So like they lost Josh Downs in the draft last year and then didn't have Tez Walker because of the NCAA stuff for the first month of the season. And he wasn't very good.
No, he wasn't. He didn't play that well. And by the way, Caleb Williams against some good teams didn't play that. Caleb Williams wasn't good against Notre Dame.
I mean, is there a chance Jaden Daniels goes first overall?
No. Zero.
Caleb Williams is a lock, right?
He's going first. He is definitely – I think he's going first. It's just a matter of how much do you love him. And does it bother you that your quarterback cried on his mom after a game? Okay. I mean, you're going to hear that. I'm telling you, in this, you know how those general managers and scouts are. They're going to put him in that room, and they're going to ask him, why were you crying like that after the game with your mom? I mean, that's going to be they're going to.
I mean, Miles Garrett got ripped for liking poetry and dinosaurs.
Yeah, I didn't. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't really thrilled with a guy who likes poetry and dinosaurs rushing the passer on my team either. But he's pushed that to the side.
Yeah, he's been fine. Do you think we get Aaron Rodgers talk 2.0? Like, does the NFL? How does the NFL handle Aaron Rodgers?
It's not
going to
be the same. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. No way it can be the same. It's always I think Rodgers has turned off a lot of people. And it's not going to be the same. And he's been there already. He's been there. Even though he didn't play, he's been around the team. He was there in training camp.
Hard knocks.
Yeah. So no, it's not going to be close to the same.
Okay.
Oh, the old guy's back. That's what it is now. Hey, the old guy quarterback's back.
That'd be just like you in Vegas. The old guy's back.
The old guy's back.
Look at the old guy. He's back. All right, Pete, we'll get you out of here. Give you a couple extra minutes to get your HQ stuff ready. Unless you got anything else
you want.
You
asked me about Dan Campbell.
Well, Brenton skipped the topic. Yeah.
We got a few minutes. Dan Campbell.
Producer Pete is literally doing his job producing. trying to get Brinson not to talk about Aaron Rodgers and to talk about Dan Campbell, and Brinson just blew him off.
I mean, I'm just talking. And Will, you were on the text chain with me, how angry I was when it happened. And you know, I said this as soon as he did that, as soon as he went for it on fourth down, I said, in a second, they're going to go down and get a score, and it's going to be a one score game, and then they're going to start pressing and melting down. And that's exactly what they did. You can't go for it.
You said that the game was over when the Lions were up 7 points. This game is over. The 49ers won.
And as soon as he went for it, because Costas is on that chain, and he was going, oh, he loved it. And I said, they're going to go down and get a touchdown and make it a 7-point game, and then they press, and then the game's over. That's exactly what I said. And that's exactly what happened.
You called Nick a Madden playing moron.
Yeah.
But now, the one thing that I think has been sort of lost in all this is just like, take the points. They're not free points. They're not just there for your taking. Like, the kicker was not very good.
Well, and that's also a problem of your organization and your team then. That's on you. But here's the other thing. You take the points there because you go up three scores. And everybody said, well, Reynolds dropped the ball. That all can happen, just like the kicker can miss the kick. The guy can drop the pass. The quarterback can get moved off the spot. It happens. That's why you try and take them when you can to go up three scores. If they're up three scores, the 49ers take the field looking – how much time was left? Was it about 4 minutes?
Seven minutes in the third quarter.
They're starting to look around going, oh, my God, three scores. We got to go now.
No margin for error.
Right. You got to do that. Then the next time, you have to tie the game. Kick it. What are you doing? And I go back and because I sat in that green room with Rick Spielman all year, and he's Johnny Detroit because his brother's on, you know, works in the organization, Chris, who's a great dude, and he defends everything they do. I criticize every time he does it because remember against the Chargers, when it late in the game, it's fourth down and two, I think it was. And there was a minute 40-something left in the game, and the Chargers had one timeout left, and he decided to go for it rather than kick his field goal. It worked. He got the first down. He took three knees and kicked it, and the game was over. That was stupid, too. That's dumb. The Dallas game, they could have had a home field advantage in the playoffs if he doesn't go for two after he has the penalty, right? So, I mean, on and on. That's who he is. Be true to who you are. He should have been doing that the whole time. He was wrong. He got away with it a bunch. That's what I say. He got away with it a bunch. Then let's spin it forward to the goal line situation. The run using the timeout.
That was worse.
What was even worse? The next play, fourth down, kick the field goal. What are you doing? You have to kick the field goal there.
Yeah, you know what, Pete? Once you wasted the timeout and it was already fourth down, it almost didn't matter. So at that point, I think you almost
you were committed. Yeah, but you have to give yourself every opportunity to spin it forward. If you kick the field goal, is an automatic from there. Even you breach, you can't kick and you'd make field goal. Okay, so give yourself an automatic kick. And then move on to the next spot instead of playing a play where you could have a drop. The guy had to make a great catch in the back of the end zone. Otherwise, the game's completely over.
They needed to run the field goal unit out there on fourth down with the clock running and kick that short field goal and then kick off. Then you could even kick off deep if you want because you got the three timeouts. The timeout was the true.
They waited.
Running the football on third down and then being like, oh, crap.
I don't like running them out from the 30-yard line necessarily, but if you're at the 10 or whatever they were, you run them out and kick that field goal, and then you go back and do that. Yes, exactly.
The timeout was the worst thing of all.
One thing I want to say real quick on the fourth down stuff, because I know that Michael Badgley's been brought up a lot and saying, oh, well, the kicker only has a 60% career rate from beyond 47 yards, and it's a huge risk, is that the pushback there is that kicking is 90% mental. And Michael Badgley, since Christmas Eve, had hit 12 of 13 kicks, including a 54-yarder in the playoffs. So he was this is a guy who would have been very confident going up there. It's not like he came in hitting 40% of his kicks from that range. He was on a hot streak, and when kickers – it's like getting hot with three-pointers. It's you're out there, your kicks are going through, you feel pretty good about it.
And by the way, it would have been a 45-yarder, right, the first one?
I think 48.
No, he was at
46
the 20,
or 48.
Was he at the 28-yard line? Wasn't he 28? I think it was the first one. I think it was at the 28.
Yeah, 28. So it'd been 46.
Yeah. So there you go. 46. If your kicker can't make a 46-yard field goal, they talk about was outside. So what? It's a 46-yard field goal. It's not like it's 20 below. It's Santa Clara. You got to make that kick.
Outside of perfect weather. Perfect kicking weather.
And here's the other thing. If you make the kick, you have all the momentum. And people talk about momentum doesn't matter. And the people who talk about momentum not mattering never played the game. Never played any game. They played Madden. The momentum doesn't matter when you're playing yourself. You know, hey, oh, I got momentum on myself. Here I go. Woo! I just beat the machine. The machine doesn't have momentum on me. I have momentum.
Give me a break. Nick? Was that Nick Costas?
Yeah, that's Nick
and
Costas.
And George Kittle even mentioned the momentum. And players talk about it all the time. And then, like, the closest thing I think any one of us normal people can get to is if you've ever gone to a basketball court and you're shooting threes and all of a sudden you make 9 in a row, you're just feeling it. Like, there's no explanation. The hoop didn't get the rim didn't get wider. Your eyes didn't get better. You're feeling it. They're
skating. They were skating after that. They're skating. That's what they always say.
You see this NC State helmet back here? Believe me, momentum is real. I think momentum. I've been on the bad side of momentum a lot, and momentum is real.
Hey, in 1996, Arizona State had a national championship in their paws, and they had momentum go against them, and that was the end of it.
Yep. I mean, I do think it is like you can't take away the fact that if you're down 3 scores, what happens different? What do the Niners do differently? You know, how do they act versus being like making a 7-point game?
Well, here's the other thing. The analytics said it was almost an even split decision. So if it's a split decision, then you have to kick the field goal.
The analytics, that's what's funny about this whole discussion. The analytics never really were like saying Dan Campbell needs to go. He needs to go. Like, a lot of times you see that, and it was for the most part, it was not a ton of analytics suggesting
he
had to go.
The analytics numbers that they use, those are from Detroit playing in Santa Clara in a playoff game with this exact – the left guard who's a backup with this guy. The analytics are all one big body of work. I get it. But there are situations that change the analytics.
I think those are all factored into the analytics. Like, for instance, the Lions converted 60-some percent of their second down or their fourth downs or whatever, but then the Niners only allowed, like, 35%. So, like, that stuff is factored in.
That's their matchup. But, okay, are they converting their fourth downs against bad defenses or against good defenses? Against defenses that rush the passer, against defenses that have big defensive tackles on the inside? Do they convert them running to the outside? Do they throw to the outside? Where do they throw it? There's so many variables that go into it that they don't take into account. And if my starting – okay, for example, if it says always go for it on fourth and goal from the inch-yard line, most of the analytics would say go for it. If you, me, John Breach, and two other guys were the offensive line going against the 49ers defense, would it still say we should go for it? Of course it would not.
No, if Jared Goff got injured on third down, the analytics would still say go for it, but you wouldn't because your backup quarterback's in there and you'd kick the field goal. So, like, you've got to quantify the numbers.
Right. Game flow, game feel, game situations matter. There's my rant. Dan Campbell has got away with it for most of the year, and it caught up with him in that game.
Brinson, you still a great coach, let that rant happen.
He's still a great coach, by the way. I love the way he coaches, but
hey, Pete, let me ask you this real quick, because I know you got to go. So quick answer here, but Brandon Staley, he was Mr. Analytics, always going for him fourth down. Week 18 against the Raiders with the playoff spot on the line, that's what he went for, fourth and one from his own 20-yard line. He got crushed, but he said, that's the way we're going to do things. But also seemed like, for the rest of his career with the Chargers, he started second-guessing himself because of what happened there. Do you think Campbell starts second-guessing himself because of what happened in this game?
Well, somebody should sit him down in a room and say, hey, Dan, we got to rein this in a little bit. We're a good football team. We don't need this anymore. We don't need it anymore.
I think what happened with Brandon Staley is that Tom Telesco and John Spanos, and maybe even Dean Spanos, got in his ear about it, and that's why he started second guessing himself. I don't think you'll see that in Detroit, because I think Dan Campbell is a little more.
One last thing, I got so many Lions fans riled up on Sunday and Monday, and every single one of them says, "You wouldn't say that to Dan's face." Brinson, if he was sitting right there, you know I would say, you would say it to his face.
Yeah. Frisco does not gossip. If he says it out loud, he would say it to your face.
I would say it. I've heard. He might want to crush me or whatever, but I would say it.
I don't know. Pete has zero filter when it comes to what you would say to people to their face. I fully believe that. Like, I hope that you see Costos in Vegas. You're like, you're bald. Or something, something to that effect.
Your hairline's gone back since I last saw you. Welcome to my world, Nikki.
All right, Pete. We're going to take a break. Pete's going to bounce and go to HQ. Thanks as always, buddy. Great rant. And we'll see you in person next week. Yeah.
Yep.
And Breach, you can give me things to rank, blindly rank after the break next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Breach, let's do a blind ranking.
Look at Brinson. Finally.
Then I'm going to eat a late lunch because I'm starving.
You are the ranker, and I get to be the rankee for once. You know what's funny is that, like, I'm looking at this list I'm about to give you, and I don't remember any Pro Bowl big moments. I know of these five, I remember two of them. Oh, so God. We'll see how you do here.
I mean, Sean Taylor is – I mean, like, I'm saving number one for Sean Taylor and Brian Moorman.
Well, here we go. Number one, Jeff Saturday switches teams in the middle of the Pro Bowl so he can take one last snap with Peyton Manning in 2013.
I vaguely remember that because I think was that in Indianapolis? Or was the Super Bowl in Indianapolis that year? No, because Peyton was hurt when the Super Bowl was in Indy. So it would have been why was Jeff Saturday switching sides? Was it still
because it was the captain stuff. It wasn't AFC.
It was when they started the captain stuff. That's right. So it wasn't AFC, NFC. Right.
Saturday played for the Packers.
That's right. That's what it was. Okay.
So yeah, confusing that there's been so many different formats.
Yeah. I'll put that at three. I'll follow the breach model and put that at three.
Wow. You might've blown this.
Actually, I don't. Okay.
You cannot switch. This is a chess move. Once you make your move, you're stuck. All right. Next
like
up, Brinson.
Like the Pro Bowl, I don't care how these rankings show.
Let's go back to 1980. Jack Youngblood plays in the Pro Bowl with a broken leg.
Can you imagine today?
No. In the Pro Bowl.
You would go with it. I mean, I'll give two. I don't know. I wasn't alive, so but good job. After the Super Bowl that year, apparently, according to Harry,
is nuts. All right. Well, here you go, Brinson. Sean Taylor lights up Brian Moorman.
That's number one. I mean, it's not even close. Like that, one of the all-time great Pro Bowl moments, and I think definitely like a reason for why they. Because I mean, Moorman was hurt too after that.
Yeah, he got lit up.
He got destroyed. I mean, it's an all-time great moment. RIP to Sean Taylor, number one with it easily.
All right, next one up. End of the 2011 Pro Bowl. Alex Mack scores a touchdown on a lateral when they're just lateraling around. It ends with Alex Mack scoring the TD.
Number four.
Okay, that means this one's number five. Your number five is Will Ron McClain scoring on the old fumble Ruski in 2009? I don't think you remember. I can tell. I don't remember.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that, but yeah.
Pro Bowl moments. How crazy! Remember,
I'll tell you what the actual number one greatest Pro Bowl moment was, Preach, when we stopped having to do live blogs for the Pro Bowl. We used to get in. Remember when the Super Bowl was in New York and we went and got hammered on Sunday night, the first night in New York? At that, you might have been in town yet.
Yeah, I don't think I remember live blogging the Pro Bowl from a bar in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm trying to think. Or maybe you live blogged it and then came to New York the next night.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think me, Wilson, and EK got obliterated at a bar in New York the first night, the first Sunday night. They were there. He was like mad. He's like, well, who's live blogging the Pro Bowl? We're like, nobody.
I want to get my favorite Pro Bowl moment ever, which I'm sure people actually remember, is when Peyton Manning called Mike Vanderjack idiot kicker.
Yeah, that's a good one,
That came at the Pro Bowl, because it came after a season where Vanderjack
gave him the kick. Yeah. That's a good one.
And Manning was like, our drunk kicker's just out there being
our idiot kicker. All right, that'll do it for us. For Pete, for Breach, I'm Brinson. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will see you guys later.
I told you imaginary friends are real.
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.